What's up, folks? It's the Baseball Boys coming to you live on a Friday night. We got ourselves in the broadcast studios. We got ourselves the greatest guest we've ever had on the show. The only guest we've ever had on the show. Mr. Taylor Wilson.
Wow. That's I'm certainly not worthy of that. I'm here. You know, one of my dreams, I had this dream a couple of weeks ago. And I was like in this celestial area.
Yeah.
And I kind of just reached out to the hand of God, and I realized it was actually the Baseball Boys.
Wow.
In one. And I realized my dream from then on out in life was to be in attendance in a Baseball Boys podcast in the Baseball Boys HQ. It's a dream come true right now.
Well, look, you're making our dream come true. I mean, we have Taylor Wilson himself from the Big Three, KCOU, noon.
Yes.
Noon to two on Fridays. And this week in footy, so.
Yeah.
Two
Thursdays at 4.
Thursdays at 4, of course.
For those of you in the Central Time Zone, yes.
To honor Mr. Wilson, we've got ourselves a little bit of a song we'd like to play. We may play the entire song, we may not.
Roll a clip.
Here it is.
What percentage of our audience do you think knows who this is?
Well, as our good friend Dave, I don't know if the listeners know this, but mentioned earlier that some might mistake it for you, but they're even better.
Yeah. Yikes. I was going to say.
They're even better, Dave.
Morrissey himself. He lied. It's not Taylor Wilson. It's Morrissey. And not only is he on a podcast, he is singing the song for
the murder of meat is akin to the killing of Jews in Holocaust Germany.
Fantastic.
All right, folks.
Wait, is this a baseball podcast? What is this?
A podcast.
Basketball.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, leading off from our last podcast, I gave you a pretty easy hint on who was coming up on this week's show. I think we all want to do it. Do we want to? The Chiefs. Yep, he got it. Mr. Wilson, he's on it. The Kansas City Chiefs. Boys, the problem with the Chiefs is, I think, it's the quarterback position.
Look, we got to do something while Jamal Charles is healthy.
We got no wide receivers.
I trust the coaching staff, ultimately, though.
Look, you got to trust Andy Reid.
And now that you have Pioli out of the organization, only good things can happen.
I tell you, I don't know if Andy Reid is... came to Kansas City for the Chiefs or the barbecue?
Maybe both.
Maybe.
He only came for one thing, let's be real, Royals baseball.
Ooh. Oh, wow.
That's a direct shot at one Arrowhead Drive, ladies and gentlemen.
Clark. All right, so maybe we could talk a little bit about baseball here. We're doing the Atlanta Braves, the 1995 World Series champions. Bobby Cox, the fighting Bobby Coxes.
Yes.
1999, Time Magazine named them America's Team.
Yeah, America's Team in the 90s. Disappointing, mostly in the playoffs. But, hey, we got 95, and that's all that matters. I like the fighting Bobby Coxes in the post-Bobby Cox era. I think we should stick with that.
Or you could just shorten it to the fighting Cox.
Fighting Cox.
Yeah.
Fighting Cox. Do we make it? Yeah, not even the Coxes, just the Cox.
The Cox. The fighting Cox.
South Carolina has nothing.
No, sir. No, sir. So the Atlanta Braves finished 79-83 last year. Disappointing year down there in ATL.
Real tough tail end of the season, especially, as has kind of been the case the past few years.
The general manager got booted.
See ya.
Frank Wren.
See ya, Wren.
Yeah.
Brought in John Hart.
Yeah.
Indeed.
And he had one of the most interesting off seasons, one of the most puzzling off seasons I've ever seen. Could you extrapolate on that with Mr. Wilson?
Well, so the off season got going, and obviously a lot of question marks with the Braves, a boatload of money. Can I curse this?
Sure.
A shitload of money on the books that basically I think he made his first goal to offload as much as he could. There was never really, I think, going to be any shot that B.J. Upton's contract was going to be offloaded. But ultimately, getting rid of J-Up, getting rid of Gattis, and before either of those moves happened, bringing in a guy like Nick Markakis. So kind of telling the fans, look, we're still trying to compete for 2015 while still a few weeks later unloading the rest of the team and making it clear that the Braves are trying to rebuild for the opening of SunTrust Park in 2017. So it was a very tough offseason to gauge as a Braves fan. I think there were times when I would wake up in the morning and say, look, we're going to have a shot in 2015. My current mental state is not as positive, I think. But there are a couple of pieces. And the one thing I'll say just right off the bat before we get into some of the deals that Hart made, you know, you don't be so scared by this lineup 1-8 that you don't give the Braves a shot, only because it wasn't like this team lived and died offensively last year either. Granted, they didn't make the playoffs then either. But we'll see what happens. As for Hart's moves, the Braves farm system for years, when I was growing up, was one of the best and richest in baseball. And the past few years before that, certainly in the Ren era, emptied out a little bit, I think. There was certainly more of an approach to let's throw money at free agents and let's go out in the trade market. That didn't work. For the most part, I'd lean to the latter. And so Hart saying, look, let's take a little bit more of an economical approach. Let's try to rebuild this system. And I think in that regard, he had a pretty successful offseason. You certainly look 1-20, 1-30 in the Braves system. It looks worlds better than it did a year ago.
I would completely agree with everything you said. To start off, the Nick Markakis signing for me was one of the weirdest signings of all time. You say you're going to rebuild, and then you trade Jay Hay. You sign Nick Markakis to a 4-year deal. Mm-hmm. And then unload everyone else afterwards. So it's basically, you're rebuilding, but with an aging Nick Markakis in right field.
And so when the Markakis deal came in, it was before some of these other offloads. And again, that was one of these things where I looked at it and I said, all right.
I thought you guys might try to compete or something.
The Braves are going to hang on to Justin Upton, probably offload Gattis, but at least have a couple of nice corner outfield bats while having, of course, some pretty solid corner infield bats also. And so, 3 or 4 guys that can provide some offense. But then you go and unload the rest of the team, and you have to wonder, for a guy Markakis who's in his 30s now, what is this going to provide? I think for Hart, off the bat, he saw it as a high-value move because some of the other figures were thrown around, like a 4-year, $50 million contract from a couple of teams, I think, were offered. And so he got him for, I think, $44 million. Was the final number on that, $11 million a year, which I think at its core, in the first 2 seasons, I think will be a pretty nice deal. I think once you get to years 3 and 4, that's going to look a little bit worse. But for now, at least it gives you some options from offense. And I think looking back on that deal, Hart knew that he could, A, afford it because he's getting it at an efficient, inexpensive price, but B, also afford it because he's going to have a lot more money on the books once he unloaded some of these other guys. So I don't hate the move. I think at least it gives one other solid 280-plus bat in the lineup that can give you some reliability. Because for the Braves, I mean, there's been some offensive potential the last couple of years.
Oh, yeah.
But the consistency has just not been there from anyone outside of Freddie Freeman, really.
Yep.
And that's worrying for a team that no longer hits a lot of home runs with Gattis and Upton gone. You need some consistent contact hitting, and I think that's what Markakis brings.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely not a bad piece. He's still a very valuable player right now. But like you said, the last 2 years of his contract, he'll be 33, 34. But I think they hope he's, at that time, just like a veteran presence on a nice, young, talented team ready to contend.
Yeah, I guess that's the idea. And, you know, again, this, I think for a while now, sort of quietly behind the curtain, the Braves organization has been, A, aware of the fact that this new ballpark situation will be going down, which Braves fans were totally kept out of the loop on until last year. And I think, you know, there's something to be said for having this sort of grand restart while having a new ballpark and everything in 2017. It's symbolic, but mixed feelings on the state of the franchise right now, no doubt.
Yeah, I don't really understand the whole we have to rebuild and make sure we're good in 2017. Why don't you just stay good?
Look, especially since the team was on.
I didn't understand the massive blow up.
I know the mindset behind that. Frank Wren looks up and he's like, God, I can't compete with the Nats this year. I'm just going to pack it in.
I think he said, look, the Nats are the dominant force in the NL East and will be for the next 5 years. The Marlins are going to be there, right there, number 2. There's 3, 4, and 5 will consist of the Braves, the Mets, and the Phils.
There is something to be said for the strength of the division only going up.
Yeah.
And ultimately, also, we haven't even discussed Jason Hayward yet. We'll get to that in a sec. But there were some bats that came through, whether they came through the Braves' ranks or came in trades that didn't pan out, bottom line. Mm. I mean, you go back all the way to the
slug. The Slugla.
The Slugla deal, exactly. You can read my mind. One of the worst contracts in baseball history, only to be passed by DJ Upton's, really. Mm. And so,
what about Mike Hampton?
The bad back.
Go Rockies.
Bad back Hampton.
one of the best hitting pitchers of all time.
Yeah. The Braves had a lot of great hitting pitchers.
Mike Hampton, I believe, hit 7 home runs in 1 year.
Which is insane.
Which would have been almost, one of the leaders on the Royals. I mean, he would have been third or fourth.
What's more impressive, that or Madison Bumgarner hitting 2 grand slams in 1 season?
Look, I'm gonna go ahead and refuse to talk about Madison Bumgarner.
you're going silent.
Yeah, I'm out.
I think the grand slam thing, there's a little bit more luck that he just was able to come up in the bases loaded situation. I'll go 7 homers, I think. That's just ridiculous.
No, absolutely.
Especially with a bad back.
Yeah. Oh, bad back hitting jacks. Mm.
Bad back Jack.
Mike Jack Hampton.
All right, folks. So, as Mr. Wilson, the star of the Big Three and This Week in Footy, just said, let's talk about the Jason Hayward deal.
Yeah.
The Braves decided to make a trade with the Evil Empire in St. Louis, and they gave up a very promising, still very young, right fielder for Shelby Miller. Who else did they get? Tyrell Jenkins. That it?
Ultimate and a little bit of money, I think, too. Look.
I like Tyrell Jenkins.
You do like Tyrell?
Yeah.
I'll defer to you more on the Tyrell Jenkins expertise, but the one thing I'll say about Jason Hayward is he's got
a disappointment.
Well, I think by the book, by definition, he was technically a disappointment.
Yeah.
And that's not his fault because he was a pretty solid player. One of the better corner outfield arms and better corner outfield defenders in the league. A 270 hitter who disappointed, I think, as far as his power and RBI potential.
Yep.
But he was always going to benefit from, as ironic as it sounds, being a native Atlantan, he was always going to benefit from leaving this club because there was a ton of pressure on this kid since he was an early teenager. Yep. Growing up in Cobb County, the site of the new ballpark in 2017, a lot of hype around him, going to Braves games, Braves scouts talking to him throughout his adolescence, basically. And then he comes up through the ranks, and he has some positives, he has some negatives, but there's something to be said for a fresh start. And so from his perspective,
I mean, this guy was compared to Henry Aaron.
And that's just outrageous. I mean, you can't compare anyone.
Who compared him to Henry Aaron? Because whoever that is, I'm going to shoot him in the face.
I am with you.
Are you kidding me?
I will bear arms.
That was legitimately thrown around.
I honestly
liken him to Alex Gordon, kind of. Alex Gordon came up, same position, third base. Everyone thought he was going to be a stud. You know, he's the next George Brett. Struggled early on, but, little change of scenery to left.
You cannot put that kind of label on these kids.
It's disgraceful.
You cannot do that.
It's so counter to any sort of productivity and positive development going forward.
I mean, you're setting him up for failure because he's not going to be Hank Aaron.
The odds are... No. Astronomical. I love Jason Hayward.
Yeah.
He's a nice player.
Yeah.
Hank Aaron
come on is now. One of the best players of all time.
Yeah. You could argue top 5 non-pitcher of all time.
Yeah.
Top 3 maybe. But I do think, like, from his perspective, I hate to say this, going to the Evil Empire is going to be a good thing for his career.
Oh, honestly, it would not surprise me in the least if he goes to St. Louis and he completely explodes.
Yeah. I know that really hurts you guys to say.
Who'd you guys rather have for the next 5 years, Jason Hayward or Jorge Soler?
I would probably go Jason Hayward, honestly. But I don't know if I would go Jason Hayward in Atlanta.
Honestly,
has a lot to do with my answer.
I would go with Jorge Soler. He's 22. I think he's going to have a better bat, more power. Look, Jason Hayward is a little overrated.
Because his defense
is so good. Yeah, metrics people love him way too much just because of his defense. great. He's a good player. I would love to have him, sure. Especially on the Royals.
Absolutely.
But
well, that goes back to like certain philosophical differences, I think, on, and I know this is a difference that you two especially have had on sort of the analytical side of defensive runs saved and stuff like that.
We need to relook at how it's composed because you cannot possibly place that much emphasis on it, I feel like.
Right.
No, I mean, are you telling me that Jason Hayward is a top 10 player in the league?
I would not say that.
You got Jackie Bradley Jr. hit under 200 last year. He was a plus war player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How does that make sense?
That alone shows there's a problem with the metric.
Like, he didn't hit 200.
Yeah.
And you're telling me he actually earned you wins?
Yeah.
Look, I'm a big fan of defense. I mean, I'm a Royals fan, so.
Dude, defense and pitching are
defense
awesome.
Is great, but if you're hitting 200, you're not a good player.
You're not helping
you're
the
detracting way more than you could ever bring back in the field.
Yeah, exactly.
I love metrics. I think it helps me understand the game better. But I think people that argue on the other side of it, that argue for metrics, take it to a new level sometimes.
Yeah, and you need
metrics is cool. I like it. I like the whole, you know, trying to figure out the game more and, you know, explain it better and measure, you know, the value of players better. But, I mean, at the end of the day, there's still nothing wrong with just watching a player and judging just by your eyes.
Well,
I think there needs to be a nice little mix of both, you know?
Yeah.
Don't go completely old school and, you know, just go by the eye test and he's 6'4", 200 and clean cut, or go completely analytics side of it. Just find a nice medium.
Right. Isn't that what metrics are for? Just to like help us understand
the game. Yeah, it's a tool. You might as well have more information. More info has never been a bad thing in any context throughout all of history. Charles Barkley, by the way, I'm just going to do another Charles Barkley bash because his anti-Houston Rockets analytic rant this week has just been outrageous.
It was bad.
Different sport, but
there's a lot of these older guys in every sport that are just so against it because it's new and kind of impeding, I guess, on their
It goes back, game. Honestly, to the whole think about a high school.
Yeah.
The jocks and the nerds, dude.
Yep. They don't get along.
They could
get along. The nerds could help the jocks.
And the jocks feel like the nerds are taking over their turf. But the reality is it's a symbiotic relationship.
Yeah,
you need both.
Benefiting.
Exactly.
That was our NBA metrics rant for this episode.
We got Bill Simmons coming in 5 minutes.
Yep.
Wow, heck of a guess.
He's announcing his book of basketball 2.0.
Hopefully he doesn't bash the Hawks in this one.
All right, folks, so we talked about the Jay Hay deal.
What do you think about Tyrell Jenkins? You seem to be really high on him.
Look, injuries have kind of slowed him last year and the year before. He came back last year, pitched pretty well. He's got some good stuff, and he's still very young. I like him. I think he could be a nice three.
He's a former quarterback for Baylor, right? Was that Tyrell Jenkins?
I think he was a dual sport athlete.
Which you see that trend a lot with pitchers and quarterbacks.
Oh yeah,
hand in hand, of course.
And you got Shelby Miller, who's he could be a nice.
Right.
Not mid-rotation.
Not
guy.
Super high ceiling, but not a low floor either.
Yeah,
I think he'll be a mid-rotation guy.
And for you guys, you already have an ace.
Yeah.
In Julio, Teheran.
Yeah. And I think
Alex Wood.
Teheran's going to have another fantastic year. Honestly, the pitching will not, for the most part, be a problem. One thing I'll say, though.
There's no need to worry about pitching in Atlanta.
One thing I'll say, going off of this confusing sort of what are the Braves doing this offseason conversation, I'm not totally sold on the Bravos keeping Craig Kimbrel.
Thank you.
Just because.
Thank you.
You have to trade him.
And I'm a massive Kimbrel fan. I've been a massive Kimbrel fan since he came up with Johnny Venters.
Yeah.
And I thought both of those guys
Rest
would
in
be
peace.
Incredible. R.I.P. J. Venn, what, three Tommy Johns?
Oh, yeah.
One of the victims, man.
My goodness. But Kimbrel's amazing. I just feel like with this offense, there's only going to be so many A, save opportunities that he has.
Yep.
And because of that, B, impact on the team. And I have a lot of respect for the closer position. I think it's been a little bit overvalued in this era, just by a little bit. Like, I love relievers.
Oh, yeah.
Some of the money that is being tossed around for, like, mid-relief setup guys seems to be outrageous to me.
I'll say this, though. The time is now to deal a high-end reliever because look at what the Royals did.
Yeah.
The Royals, everyone's going to try to build off this back into the bullpen and get it done.
Yep.
And if you have a guy that's like as dominant as Kimbrel, you could get a load for him.
Look, the Braves, as Mr. Wilson said, the offense isn't there. You're not even really trying to win or compete.
No need.
In the next 2 years.
No need.
And you're paying this guy over $10 million a year on his new contract. I mean, it seems like a waste. You might as well trade him. If you trade Craig Kimbrell, you would probably have a top 6 or 7.
Definitely get you in the top system. 5 conversation.
Exactly. Yeah. And I just...
I mean, the system would be absolutely stacked.
I just don't know how many wins Craig Kimbrell, either being on or off the team, would make on this team because of how bad the offense is. There are just going to be so few games where he's going to be able to have that kind of an impact.
Yeah. And, hey, with Kimbrell, I mean, he's expensive. It's not like he's like a cheap piece, so you could save even more money by getting rid of him. I think you guys should deal him. I don't know if that you will, though.
It would have been really nice if Johnny Venters panned out on the same path that Kimbrell did, because when they were both coming up, I was the first to say I thought Kimbrell would be the closer. Like, I had my card in the Kimbrell suit, and obviously, ultimately, Kimbrell. I mean, I had my card in the Venters suit. Ultimately, Kimbrell worked out extremely well. But another thing is, one of the things that Kimbrell does so well is the high heat. And I kind of feel like you can go get a high heat guy. And we have a few in our...
You did. Aroides Vizcaíno.
Exactly. So
that's one move I really like. Tommy La Stella, don't really need him. Traded him to the Cubs for Aroides Vizcaíno. Brought him back.
It's tough. My
He could be a closer, for sure. He could be the replacement.
It's a nice pickup. I am a huge La Stella fan. So it's a little bit tough to see him go. Obviously, if Jose Peraza wasn't coming up, that probably would not have been made. You know, it's going to be fun to see Alberto Chiaspo out there.
Alberto Chiaspo and Phil Gosselin.
Alberto Chiaspo thought he won the AL wildcard game last year when he got that hit.
That was incredible, dude. That was incredible.
He did not. He did not win the game. But I think the... this Caiano trade is it's going to work out for both clubs.
Yeah.
But I think Aroides really does add something, and the Cubs loved him. So
he's got let's hope dirty stuff.
Let's hope that stuff keeps up. I'm high on him as well. One of your secondary teams, Mr. Asta, the Padres, dealt with my Braves this off season as well. How do you assess that from each perspective?
It was an interesting trade because I love Justin Upton.
Yeah.
One of my favorite players in the league. Honestly, I think the Braves are going to win this trade eventually. We got Jay up in San Diego for only a year. So it's a one-year rental, basically. We gave up Max Fried, who people still like a lot.
Yeah. Even Tommy John.
Recovering from Tommy John. He's a lefty. He could be a stud. If he comes back healthy.
Are you a Jace Peterson guy?
He's not really. He's more of a utility guy. I think he's a bench player.
Would you say better or worse than Phil Gosselin? Upside-wise. We'll say upside-wise.
I think he's got a little higher ceiling.
What about Tyler Pastrnicki?
Probably a little higher.
I'm throwing you pretty low ball there.
Your bench is going to be a fun group of names.
The bench is going to be awful.
I mean, Pasternak,
Kelly Johnson, Mickey. By the way, I need to give my boy Kelly a shout out. Yes. I remember he came up on the same crop of players that now doesn't really look so great, but at the time was incredible. Kelly Johnson, I think Matt Diaz came up at the same time. Oh, Brian McCann.
Matt Diaz.
Who did pan out. I mean, McCann did pan out until he went to the Bronx. But
Diaz was supposed to be a monster.
Yeah. This crop was incredible. I remember they all came up pretty much the same year. Who else was part? I think... you know who else? Jeff Francoeur was part of that crop.
The natural.
Yeah Jeff Frenchie, the Sports Illustrated cover and all.
Dear Lord.
Was a part of that. Talk about overhype.
The French Quarter.
But yeah, so Kelly is making his return. AJ Pierzynski will be the backup catcher in theory for Bethancourt.
What do you think about Christian, by the way? Christian Bethancourt, I
think the jury is still out on him. I'm not the highest, but I've also in my life watched a perennial all-star Brian McCann. I watched Javi Lopez. I've watched some really, really good catchers. So I think I might be setting the bar a little
bit. Gerald Laird.
That's good, man.
I think he'll be all right. He'll be all right. That's the most that I can say about him. The bottom of this lineup, really, after, because Freeman's going to be great. Freeman's going to be an all-star.
We don't have to disagree
with that. I think Markakis has the upside to be maybe a 300 hitter. Like, he could be. He'll probably be a 270, 280 guy, but he could be 300.
Are you worried about his vertebrae?
It's not great. And that's another thing where the Braves organization has really been a big fan of keeping their own fans out of the loop on some of this stuff. And they got Markakis and were well aware of this back problem and decided to really not publicize it as much until David O'Brien kind of broke it. Braves beat writer a little bit later, but
great Twitter follow, by the way.
Yeah, he is Kansas City
MIZ, right?
Rock Chalk, actually.
I think maybe K State, possibly K State.
Ema,
you can look past it. He's a good writer,
but there are just so many holes in the lineup. Like Johnny Gomes will probably be the opening day left fielder.
That's concerning.
Which he's a guy that could be in the 220s.
Yeah. But hey, he's gonna make it fun. He's gonna dress up in the clubhouse and run around. As long as guys are having fun, they can win
62 games.
Exactly.
He's gonna be great for morale. Late August, when there's a beard, it's gonna be falling off. He's gonna be wearing America onesies.
Yes.
I want to see what kind of year offensively Andrelton Simmons has, because we know what he is as a shortstop. He's one of the best in the game. One of the best middle infielders defensively in all of baseball.
Oh, yeah.
But average-wise, contact-wise, he's been down the past few years. And he has, sneaky good power.
He needs to find that power. Two years ago, he hit, 17 jacks?
Yeah, he did. And I think, I don't know if he's ever going to be a 280, 290 hitter.
He doesn't need to be.
He knows that he has that power. I want to see him in the spring work on his home run potential, because you can hit 245 for us.
Exactly.
If you give us 15 homers.
Yeah. If he turned into a 250 guy, 15 to 20 jacks a year, playing the best defense in baseball.
At the best position.
Yeah.
You'll take that.
That's where we talk about defensive impact. It's true if you're a shortstop with that kind of defensive
impact. But the thing with Andrelton is he at least hits a little bit.
Yeah, he's a little bit.
You know what I mean?
Compared to some of the guys in the lineup, he's not going to be the issue in the offense. Compared to some guys,
BJ,
do you all? And I keep clutching at straws here because I'm looking for some positive reaffirmation.
Let's get the positive hats on.
In BJ Upton. Is there anything positive that could come out of this year for BJ Upton?
No,
straight no.
No, he's absolutely unsalvageable. He's done.
Do you? I mean, I agree. The only thing that could possibly
happen for him that's positive is maybe getting traded.
Yeah.
Leaving the team.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would be great.
That'd be great for you and probably fantastic for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look,
what is the vibe around BJ Upton in Atlanta?
Oh, he's one of I think he might be the most despised Atlanta athlete.
As he should be. As he should be.
And I don't know. There are three things that I think BJ Upton can still do to some extent. And because he's such a horrible hitter. Mm. These three skills don't play in that much. But one, when he's on the base path, he can be a threat. Two, he's a good fielder.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say great now. You know, he was billed to be like this elite outfielder when the contract was given. That was the Frank Wren logic.
He was billed to be a lot.
And three, and I'll be careful saying this because he may go and hit three homers, but he does have slight home run potential despite the 200 average. I think he could hit at least, and when I say that, I don't mean 15 high teens, but I mean 10 or 12.
Yeah.
Which, isn't much, but at least you're giving us something, 10, 5, how do we reduce 162? 580 first of the year.
Jesus. Look, BJ Upton, I told you freshman year when you signed him, it was going to be
a terrible deal. You called it off the bat. And I didn't love the deal, but I thought he'll be all right. He won't live up to the money, but he'll be all right. He hasn't lived up to being deserving of any contract.
Really. Honestly, I feel like he should be paying you guys to allow him to play.
Yes. Well, it's a similar what's going on with the Yankees right now with A-Rod? They have this contract. They're trying to figure out ways to dissuade.
I'd rather have A-Rod.
Oh, I'd much rather have A-Rod. But they're trying to find out ways to dissuade him from showing up.
Yeah.
I wonder if the Braves are just gonna be like, "Hey, man, go here."
BJ, we canceled the season. Yeah, you don't need to show up.
The season's not happening. There's a strike.
Just don't take him to spring training.
Yeah. Spring training is canceled, BJ. Yeah. The season's canceled. We'll see you next year.
Here we go. BJ Upton stat line for the 2014 season, for those of you
we don't need to relive this.
That don't know how bad he was. He had 208.
Yep.
He had 12 home runs, 35 RBIs.
Mm.
OPS of 589 with 173 strikeouts.
Mm.
That's one of the worst possible players in the league. He's one of the worst five players in the league.
Do you think it's a good thing that Justin, his brother, isn't there, or
I think it's good for him?
I think if anything, it's probably good, just because of how well Justin was doing. Like, I think it's got to make it that much.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he looked like a complete piece of shit.
Yeah.
Mm, a lot of stress, man.
Yeah.
But what was I gonna say?
I don't know.
My mind's a weird place sometimes.
Should we play some more Smiths?
Put some more Smiths on. No, I'm back. I'm pretty focused. Oh, wow. That's a good question. BJ, I think.
Wow.
Because here's the thing with Drew Brees. At least people respect him.
I don't respect about Drew Brees is that birthmark on his face.
The birthmark hurts
It gets
you.
To me. It gets to me a lot. It looks like it moves around almost.
It has a life of its own. Definitely.
Yeah, it's
multiple
like...
Multiple women describe Drew Brees as a very attractive male.
Look, I think that right there points out how disturbed and scary women are. And that's why I avoid them at all costs.
Yeah. You stay away.
I stay away.
Well, his birthmark is kind of like the Family Guy clip where Chris is the pimple and has a face and a mind of its own.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like that's what night Drew Brees goes to sleep in the birthmark.
And he kind of just like rolls around his body. He just rolls around. He goes down, does his legs. He comes back up.
He's laying there with his wife and the birthmark starts talking in a high-pitched voice.
He's like, hey, baby. You asleep yet?
That's fantastic.
He's talking about Bounty Gate.
Oh, wow. I will say this about BJ, though.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to
Here we go,
find the straw. I'm trying to find the straw.
Real quick question.
I think he's got one.
I got a straw. No! Oh! He's a garbage.
Smiths?
Always.
Gooning out. We're gooning out.
BJ won't say that.
BJ should be doing that. Spending warm summer days indoors.
I'm sure BJ has written some frightening verse to a bucktooth girl in Luxembourg.
I got a question for you. Do you like BJ Upton with the glasses or without the glasses?
I'll say just because I'm a glasses guy, it feels... actually, no, I'll say this. Because I'm a glasses guy, I wish you'd take them off. He's misrepresenting the glasses community.
You know who really represents the glasses community well in baseball? Eric Sogar.
Yes.
I respect him because he just wears not even sports glasses.
He's forking them.
Fork them, baby.
Arizona State. He wears just like normal glasses out there. He's got like... Ray-Ban / Warby Parker just glasses, out on a baseball field.
I don't know, like, I've always wondered, because I occasionally, not often, play some sports, like, you know, just...
We try to avoid that, too.
I don't know if play is the right... I don't know what I do, but
avoiding girls and sports.
Yeah. and the glasses will just go flying, so I don't know how professional athletes that don't rock goggles do it. I guess it's got to be contacts or...
Look, it's dangerous wearing spectacles to the wreck.
Yeah.
You go in, you drive hard like D. Rose... You get in there, there's a lot of arms, there's a lot of fingers.
Yes.
A lot of times, people will just smack them off your face.
Well, and then
they'll go flying.
And the worst part of it is, afterwards, you have to be that guy that's like, wait, hang on, glasses
he's
down.
Like, oh my God, my glasses, don't step on my glasses, everyone, don't break them. Everyone's like,
get this guy off the court.
Everyone's like, buy some goddamn contacts.
Like,
I'm like, I can't. Dude,
see, at least you have some point guard game to back it up. For me, I'm just out there fumbling around.
And you're down low, man.
I'm down low. Glasses are elbows in the face. I mean, it's
the glasses are getting slapped off.
So here's what we've learned.
Yeah.
The Braves are going to be a mess.
We just spent like 10 minutes talking about either BJ Upton or glasses. That's fantastic.
It's great. It's great. And that's what you should be talking about when the Braves come up.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's not a whole lot of
try to change the subject.
Let's hear it. Final prediction.
Let's hear some predictions here, and then we can
do more.
This
is the only thing I'll say. It seems like the baseball community, of which you guys are the headliners, has the Braves a little bit lower than maybe you should. And where are we? What spot is this? 26?
We're 26.
We're 26 right now.
My goodness.
David Schoenfield had him at 28.
28, yeah. And that's what I'm saying. I would put the Braves in the 22 to 24 range.
Oh, wow.
And the only reason is the rotation is going to keep this team in some ball games. the heart of the order, 3-4 has to show up. If I know that Freeman's going to show up, Chris Johnson needs a big year. And big, let's redefine big. I mean, I'm not saying like an all-star year.
Yeah.
But I'm saying,
hey,
give me 14 homers.
Yeah.
He can do it. And his average is very hard to predict because obviously he's never going to be the 330 year Chris Johnson ever again. That was a fluke.
Yeah.
And Frank Wren doesn't understand.
Gave him the
consistency
extension.
Needs to be something to prove like huge contract worth.
Yeah.
But having said that, he's still a decent hitter. When compared to the rest of this lineup, he's elite. And he could definitely hit 275, 280. I think he's got that potential. And so if he could hit up there, which he'll probably hit in the 250s, but if he could, you're going to have some middle of the lineup, consistent contact. That'll be enough to get the Braves into the 22 to 24 range of baseball.
Look, I mean, if Jose Peraza, your number one prospect, comes up and hits, you know, over 300, Maybe you got yourselves a 500 ball club, but
yeah. And I wonder what the Braves are going to do with Peraza, like as far as if they're planning a midseason bring up, if they're going to do that no matter what happens with the team, or if the team is competing, they keep him down, or if the team is competing, they bring him up. I don't know what the logic is there. It's
I think. Well, honestly, I don't think you'll be competing.
We're also, when I say competing, that also is relative. No, yeah. I'm down already. No one's bringing me. I'm already down.
Yeah.
No one's bringing me down. I need someone to bring me up. But yeah.
We can find someone to bring you up on the north side of town, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. I don't know if I do.
I don't know what that means. Like, what does that mean?
Jose. All right. So Jose Peraza, number one prospect, 20 years old, hitting machine.
Right.
Second base.
Is he from the north side of town?
He could bring you up. He could definitely bring you up. More Smiths?
More Smiths. Right from frightening birds to a butchered girl in
Luxembourg. Ask me, ask me, ask me. We're back, folks. Got a little weird there. Where are we taking this?
I don't know, man. All I know is that...
So what was your prediction?
Win total?
Record-wise, yep.
Braves are going to be fourth.
Yep.
And 179 last year. It's going to go down from that. I'll say 73.
Oh, okay.
73 right. Win club. Fourth place. And, you know, this is a bad year for the Braves to go into a tail dive because of how good the rest of the NL East is.
Yep.
And so thankfully the Phillies are going to be probably the worst team in baseball, which by the way, those listeners that have not caught up, go back and listen to the Baseball Boys Philly podcast.
There it is.
But there's no doubt in my mind the Braves will be in fourth in the NL East and will probably have, what, three or four teams in the NL that are worse than them.
Yep. I'm saying they're going to go 72 and 90.
So one less than that.
Yeah, one less. Good rotation. You got the pitching. Gotta build up the offense here in the next couple years. Get ready for SunTrust.
Yes. SunTrust Park, Marietta.
Woo! Yeah. 72 and 90. Mr. Howard, you've been quiet. Give us some...
The Braves are going to win 69 games.
Yikes. Wow!
Don't love it. I don't have much to argue against it.
Yeah.
I just don't know if you guys are gonna score at all, dude.
Look, boys. You two are the resident gamblers here.
Yeah.
What do you think about the over under on the Braves this year? What is it?
I believe it's 73. Is that what it is?
73? I think 73.5.
73.5.
Yeah, I just opened it.
I mean, I'm obviously going under.
I would. Well, if it's 73 flat, I'm pushing, I guess.
Yeah.
But listen, I wouldn't touch a Braves over no matter what number it was at. So I'll go under.
I don't know if I would bet on this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
Vegas is like a lot of the baseball media community, giving a lot of lack of trust to this Braves team for this year, as they should.
Yeah.
And so it's not like they gave an inflated number. They gave a pretty accurate low number.
Yeah.
But yeah,
they definitely didn't oversell you guys.
No oversell there with the Braves, and for good reason. I it would be It would be nice if the Braves could get off to a little bit of a hot start out of the gate.
Make it a little
That would be great, but that's not going to happen.
I'll tell you, I'm ready for these Marlins-Braves games.
They're always fun. Yeah. This year, the Marlins are probably going to roll.
Well, now you don't have Evan Gattis to hit a bunch of walk-offs.
Now Evan can't hit the walk-offs. Now it's going to be a lot of Christian Yelich walk-offs, probably.
Oh, yeah. Jose Fernandez hitting home runs against you guys, and then Brian McCann.
Yeah, that was
telling him to stop having so much fun.
Brian, don't listen to the haters. I got you, Brian.
Brian, I don't understand why you thought you were the police of baseball.
Brian, it's okay. You're a good police officer. It's a real shame your career has fallen off, though, Big Mac. I love you. Him and Jay Frank, you should just go find a bar and just drink away their sorrows. Former roommates in the minor league ranks.
Wow.
Yeah, so not a great time to be a Braves fan. The future is not grim.
Get excited for the stadium.
Get excited for the ballpark that I never wanted to happen, and we'll see what happens from there.
Mr. Howard, closing words.
Go Mets, go. Looking forward to getting about a 15-game advantage on these Braves here in 2015. And that's all I got.
Who's next on the...
I'm going to be honest. I'm not sure.
You guys need to do the hint.
Yeah, I was going to say, we got to do the hint. Sorry, folks. Hold on for a second. We're getting the list out.
This is the least professionally thing done of all time.
We got a typed out list here. Let's see what the next team. Oh! Okay. Wow. I have not a clue in the world what this hint could be.
Enjoy some juice.
Oh.
I'll say this. You probably don't know this nickname, listeners.
Oh.
But enjoy the hard-hitting New Britain.
Oh!
I love it.
Yeah, that's probably my favorite young right fielders in the game other than Giancarlo Stanton. See you, folks. Hope you had a great time listening. Maybe we'll bring on Mr. Wilson more often. It got a little wild. All right, folks. See ya.